There, that sounded better. Professional, businesslike, and steady. He laughs lightly, and it throws me completely off guard. Now I know you already know the answer to that question because my name came up on your phone. I cringe on the spot, trying to play it cool. How does he know that? But then realization dawns on me. You added yourself to my contacts list, I gasp. When did he do that? I mentally sprint through our meeting, settling on my visit to the toilet when I left my portfolio and phone on the table. I can't believe he went through my phone. I need to be able to get hold of you. Oh no, Patrick obviously hasn't told him. Nevertheless, you don't go round snooping through strangers' phones. Patrick should have contacted you, I coolly inform him. I'm afraid I'm unable to assist you, but Patrick will be more than happy to help. Yes, Patrick has been in contact, he replies. I sag in relief, but then frown. Why is he calling me then? I'm sure he will be happy to help, but I'm less than happy to accept it. My mouth gapes. Who does he think he is? He's called to tell me that he's not happy? I close my gaping mouth. I'm sorry to hear that. I sound less than sorry. I sound irritated. Are you? No, I'm not sorry, but I'm not about to tell him that. Yes, I am. I want to add that I could never work with an arrogant, good-looking swine like him, but I refrain. That wouldn't be very professional. I hear him sigh. I don't think you are, Ava. My name sounds like velvet rolling from his lips, causing a familiar shudder to course through me. I think you're avoiding me. I'm clenching my jaw so tightly I'm going to dislocate it at this rate. He's right, of course. He sparks some very unwelcome feelings in me. But again, I won't let him know he's right. Why would I do that? I ask cockily. Well, because you're attracted to me. Excuse me? I splutter. His self-assuredness knows no bounds. Has he no shame? The fact that he's bang on the money is way beside the point. You would have to be blind, deaf, and numb not to be attracted to this man. He's the epitome of male perfection, and quite clearly he knows it. He sighs. I said, yes, I heard you, I interrupt him. I just can't believe you said it. I'm completely stunned. The man has a significant other, and he's flirting with me? I need to turn this conversation back around to business and get off the phone quickly. I apologize for not being available to assist with your work, I blurt and hang up, staring down at my phone. That was really quite rude and extremely unprofessional, but I'm completely staggered by his forwardness. Passing the contract over to Patrick is looking more and more sensible by the minute. My phone dings as a text arrives. I noticed you didn't deny it. You should know the feeling's mutual. J.X. Fucking hell! I slap my hand over my lips to stop my mental explicit language from escaping my mouth. No, I didn't deny it. And he's attracted to me? I'm a bit young for him, or is he too old for me? What a cocky ass! I don't reply. I have no idea what to say to that. Instead, I throw my phone in my bag and go meet Kate for lunch. Holy Moses! Kate exclaims, staring down at my phone. Her red hair is swinging from side to side in its ponytail as she shakes her head. Did you reply? No, I laugh. And he's got a girlfriend? Yes, I nod, raising my eyebrows. She places my phone back on the table.
That's a shame.
Is it? It actually makes things a lot easier. It totally trumps the looks and reactions he spikes in me. Kate's far more daring than me. She would have replied with something shocking and suggestive and probably made his jaw drop. Confident, strong-minded, and determined, she mostly scares men off on the first date. Only the strongest survive. Not really, I muse, picking up my cheeky lunchtime wine and taking a sip. Anyway, it's only been 4 weeks since Matt and I split up. I don't want any men in my life, not in any capacity. I like the fact that I sound resolute. I'm enjoying being single and carefree for the first time ever, I add. And it really does feel like the first time ever. I was with Matt for 4 years, and prior to that, I was in a 3-year relationship with Adam. Have you seen the prick? Kate's face distorts into a look of disgust at the mention of my ex's name. She can't stand Matt, and was delighted when I split up with him. Kate catching him at it with a work colleague in a taxi only confirmed what I already knew. I don't know why I ignored it for so long. When I confronted him calmly, he fell apart with apologies and nearly fell over when I told him that I wasn't bothered. I really wasn't, much to my own surprise. The relationship had run its course, and Matt was of the same opinion. No, I confirm. We are having fun, aren't we? She grins as the waitress approaches with our lunch. I'm just going to the loo. I get up, leaving Kate dousing her chips in mayonnaise. After using the toilet, I stand in the mirror reapplying my lip gloss and fluffing my hair. It's behaving today, so it's down and tumbling all over my shoulders. I brush down my black capri pants and pick a few hairs off my cream blouse, then make my way back to the bar. My phone rings, and I drag it from my bag, rolling my eyes when I see it's him again. He's probably wondering where my reply to his inappropriate text message is. I'm not playing games with him. Reject, I huff at my phone, stabbing at the red button and stuffing it in my bag as I continue down the corridor. Oh God, I'm sorry, I splutter, slamming straight into a chest. This chest is a very firm chest, and the intoxicating fresh water scent that washes over me is way too familiar. My legs refuse to move, and I know what I'm going to see if I look up. His arm is already wrapped around my waist to steady me. My eyes are level with the top of his chest, and I can see his heart beating through his shirt. Reject, he says softly. I'm wounded. I push myself away from his grasp, attempting to regain my composure. He looks stunning, wearing a charcoal suit and crisp white shirt. I laugh at myself and my inability to get my eyes past his upper body for fear of being hypnotized by the potency of this man's green gaze. Is something funny? He asks. I suspect he's frowning at my random outburst, but because I refuse to look at him, I can't confirm that. I'm sorry, I wasn't looking where I was going. I sidestep him, but he grabs my elbow, halting my escape. Just tell me one thing before you leave, Ava. His voice prickles at my senses, and I find my eyes traveling up the leanness of his body until our stares meet. His face is serious, but still stunning. How loud do you think you'll scream when I fuck you? What? Excuse me? I manage to splutter around the lead that is my tongue. He half smiles at my shock, placing his index finger under my chin and pushing my gaping mouth shut. I'll leave that one with you. He releases my elbow. I flash him a displeased scowl before I walk back to the table, as steadily as my boneless legs will allow. I slide myself onto the chair, immediately glugging down my wine to try and moisten my parched mouth.
When I look up at Kate, she's open-mouthed, exposing half-chewed chips and bread. It's not attractive.
Who the fuck is that? She mumbles around her food.
Who? I look around, pretending to be unaware.
Him.
Kate points with her fork.
Look!
I saw and I don't know, I grate. He's coming over.
You sure you don't know him?
Fuck, he's hot. She looks at me, and I shrug noncommittally, picking up a stray piece of lettuce from my BLT and nibbling at the edges. I'm tense all over, and I know he's getting closer because Kate's gaze is lifting upward to accommodate his height. I wish she would shut her bloody gaping mouth.
Ladies. His low, throaty voice prickles at my skin, doing nothing to relax me.
Hi, Kate spits, chewing rapidly to rid her mouth of the obstruction to speech.
Ava, he prompts, and I wave my piece of lettuce at him to acknowledge his presence but without having to look at him. He laughs slightly, and out of the corner of my eye, I see his body slowly lowering until he's squatting at the table next to me, but I still refuse to look at him. He rests one arm on the table, and I hear Kate cough and splutter on the remnants of her food.
That's better, he says. I can feel his breath on my cheek. Reluctantly, I look up through my lashes and find Kate gawking at me. All wide-eyed, and yes, he's still there. Talk, you idiot. I can think of nothing to say. Once again, this man has rendered me useless. I hear him sigh.
I'm Jesse Ward, pleased to meet you.
I see his hand reach across the table, and Kate takes it eagerly.
Jesse, she splutters. Oh, Jesse!
I can feel her glaring at me accusingly.
I'm Kate. Ava mentioned you have a posh hotel.
I scowl across the table.
Oh, she mentioned me?
He asks softly. I don't have to look at him to know he's displaying a smug, satisfied face at this news.
I wonder what else she's mentioned.
Oh, this and that, Kate flips casually.
This and that, he counters softly.
Yes, this and that, Kate affirms. Fed up with a pointless little exchange they both seem to be enjoying, I take the situation into my own hands, turning my eyes onto him.
It was nice to see you. Goodbye.
Our gazes latch immediately, and I'm ruined by his green eyes, all hooded, dark and demanding. I can feel his breath waver, and it draws my eyes to his mouth. His lips are moist, slightly parted, and his tongue slowly creeps out of his mouth, running a leisurely path across his bottom lip. I can't take my eyes off him, and without any encouragement at all, my own tongue responds with a happy little adventure across my bottom lip. It totally betrays my effort to appear unaffected.
This is crazy. This, whatever this is, it's just crazy.
He's overconfident and arrogant, but probably has the right to be. I desperately do not want to be affected by this man.
Nice.
He leans forward, grasping my thigh, causing hot liquid lava to flood my groin. I shift my legs, squeezing my thighs together to restrict the pulsation that threatens to break out into a full hard throb.
I could think of a lot of words, Ava. Nice isn't one of them. I'll leave you to consider my question.
Oh, good Lord. I gulp as he leans into me at half height, pressing his damp lips against my cheek, holding his kiss forever. I clench my teeth in an effort not to turn into him.
Soon,
he whispers. It's a promise. He releases my tense thigh and rises.
It was nice to meet you, Kate.
You too, she responds thoughtfully. He strides off toward the back of the bar. Good God, he walks with purpose and it's sexy as hell. I close my eyes to mentally gather my wits, which are currently dispersed all over the bar floor. It's completely hopeless. I turn back to Kate, finding accusing bright blues gawking at me like I've just sprouted fangs. Her eyebrows hit her hairline. Fuck me, that was intense, she spits across the table. Was it? I start pushing my sandwich around my plate. You better stop with the blah-fucking-zay shit now, or I'll shove this fork so far up your ass you'll be chewing metal. What question are you considering? Her tone is fierce. I don't know, I brush her off. He's attractive, arrogant, and has a girlfriend. I try for vague. Kate lets out a long, over-amplified whistle. I've never experienced that before. I've heard of it, but never witnessed it. What are you on about? I snap. She leans across the table, all serious. Ava, the sexual tension batting between you and that man was so fucking supercharged, even I was horny. She laughs. He wants you bad. He couldn't have made it any clearer if he'd spread you on that pool table. She points, and I actually look. Oh, you're imagining things, I snort. Well, I've seen the text, and now I've seen the man in the flesh. He's hot, for an older guy. She shrugs. I'm not interested. Ha! You keep telling yourself that. I return to the office and spend the rest of the day achieving absolutely nothing. I twiddle my pen, visit the toilet a dozen times, and pretend to listen to Tom harp on about gay pride and all things camp. My phone has rung 4 times, all Jesse Ward, and I've rejected each and every call. I'm staggered by this man's persistence and confidence. I'm happy and enjoying my newfound freedom, and have no intention of derailing my plans to be single and carefree. I'm not getting caught up with a handsome stranger, no matter how mind-meltingly delicious he is. Anyway, he's way too old for me. And more importantly, he's obviously taken. And that only reinforces the fact that he's an ultimate player. This is not the sort of man I need to be attracted to, especially after Matt and his infidelities. I need a man, eventually, who'll be faithful, protective, and look after me. Preferably a bit nearer my age, too. My phone declares a text, snapping me from my wandering thoughts and making me jump. I already know who it is before I look. Being rejected isn't very nice. Why won't you answer my calls? J.X. I laugh to myself, drawing the attention of Victoria, who's rummaging through the filing cabinet near my desk. Her perfectly plucked eyebrow arches. I don't suppose he is familiar with rejection. Kate, I offer, by way of an explanation. It seems to work as she returns to sifting through the cabinet. It should be obvious why I'm not answering my bloody phone. I don't want to talk to him, and quite frankly, I don't trust my body around him. It seems to respond to his presence with no prompt from my brain, and that could be very dangerous indeed. My phone rings again, and I quickly reject it. I'm never going to get rid of him. I need to be brutal. I text back. If you need to discuss your requirements, you should be calling Patrick, not me. There. He should get the message. I put my phone down, all set on getting something done. But it chimes again, and I pick it straight back up, grabbing my coffee with my spare hand as I do. My requirement is to make you scream. I don't think Patrick can help me there. I'm gagging just thinking about it. That's a thought. Will I need to gag you? J.X. I spray coffee all over my desk as I cough. The cheeky sod! How brazen and unashamed can a man be? I switch my phone to silent, chucking it down on my desk in disgust. I'm not even dignifying that with a response. Replying will only encourage him. There's a fine line between confidence and arrogance, and Jesse Ward triple jumps that. I feel sorry for old pouty lips. Is she aware of her man pursuing young women? I watch as my screen lights up again and snatch it up, silencing it before it draws attention. I open my top drawer, drop it in, and slam it shut on a huff. I make a meager attempt to carry on with some work, but I'm far too distracted. Strange words, all having no place in work-related correspondence, are appearing in my emails as I absent-mindedly tap away at my keyboard. When the office phone rings, I glance up, seeing Sally away from her desk. So I answer, "Good afternoon, Rococo Union." "Don't hang up," he blurts down the phone, making me sit up straight in my chair. Even his urgent voice prickles my skin. "Ava, I'm really very sorry." "You are?" I can't hide the surprise in my voice. Jesse Ward doesn't look like the kind of man to offer apologies willy-nilly. "Yes, I really am. I've made you feel uncomfortable. I've overstepped the mark by a long shot." He sounds sincere enough. "I've distressed you. Please accept my apology." I wouldn't say I was distressed by his bold behavior and comments. Shocked would be more apt. Some people might even admire his confidence, I suppose. "Okay," I say hesitantly. "So, you don't want to make me scream or gag me?" "Ava, you sound disappointed." "Not at all," I blurt. There's a brief silence before he speaks again. "Can we start again? I'll keep it professional, of course." Oh, no. He might be sorry, but that doesn't extinguish the effect he has on me. And it doesn't escape my thoughts that this is just a ploy to get me back on side, so he can recommence pursuing me. "Mr. Ward, I'm really not the right person for this job." I swivel in my chair to check if Patrick's in his office. He is. "Can I transfer you to Patrick?" I push, mentally pleading for him to take the hint. "It's Jesse. You make me feel old when you call me Mr. Ward," he grumbles. I slam my mouth shut when my lips part and that question nearly falls out. I'm still intrigued on that subject, but I'm not going to ask again. "Ava, if it makes you feel better, you can deal with John. What would be the next stage?" "John? Would that make me feel better?" Big guy has intimidation in equal measure towards boldness. I'm not sure I would feel any more comfortable with him, but the fact that he's prepared to step out of the equation tells me he really does want me to do the designs. And that, I suppose, is a compliment. The manor will be a great addition to my portfolio. "I would need to measure the rooms and draw up some schemes," I spit the words out impulsively. "Perfect." He sounds relieved. "I can get John to take you round the rooms. He can hold your tape measure. Tomorrow?" "Tomorrow? He's keen." "I can't do tomorrow or Wednesday. I'm sorry." "Oh," he says quietly. "Do you do evenings?" "I don't like doing evenings, but many clients work 9-to-5 jobs and are unavailable during the working day. I prefer evenings to weekends, though. I never get dragged into weekend appointments." "I can do tomorrow evening," I blurt, turning the page in my diary to tomorrow. "My last appointment is at 5, with Mrs. Kent." "7-ish?" I ask, already penciling him in. "Perfect. I would say that I'll look forward to it, but I can't look forward to it because I won't be seeing you." I can't see him, but I know he's probably grinning. I can hear it in his tone. He just can't help himself. I'll let John know to expect you at 7. Ish, I add. I don't know how long it'll take me to get out of the city at that time of day. Ish, he confirms. Thank you, Ava. You're welcome, Mr. Ward. Goodbye. I hang up and commence tapping my fingernail on my front tooth.
Ava!
Patrick calls from his office. Yes, I swing my chair to face him.
The manor, they want you, Flower.
He shrugs, returning to his computer screen. No, he wants me. Chapter 4. I fly through Tuesday's appointments, leaving Mrs. Kent's lovely new townhouse at just past 6. Mrs. Kent is the extremely high-maintenance wife of Mr. Kent, managing director of Kent Yacht Builders, and this Kensington house is their 3rd home in 4 years. I've redesigned the interior on all of them. As soon as the work is completed, Mrs. Kent decides she can't envision growing old there. She's 70 if a day, so the house is on the market, sold, and I'm starting from scratch on their new abode. I jump in my car and set off for the Surrey Hills. I didn't divulge to Kate the reason why I'm going to be home late. Telling her would only fuel her curiosity as to why I'm returning to the manor. I would, of course, lie and feed her the same crap that I fed myself, that the manor's project would benefit my portfolio. The magnet of lean loveliness has zero influence on my decision. None at all. I stop at the intercom, but as I press to release my window, the gates start opening. I look up to the camera and figure John must be waiting. I drive up the gravel road to the courtyard and find the big guy standing on the steps, filling the double doorway, sunglasses firmly in place. Good evening, John, I greet, grabbing my folder and bag. Will he speak today? No, he nods and turns, walking back into the manor, leaving me to follow him into the bar. It's busier than when I was last here.
Mario,
he rumbles. A little man pops up from behind the bar.
Yes.
Get Miss O'Shea a drink, please.
John turns his concealed eyes back to me.
I'll be back. Jessie wants a quick word.
With me? I blurt, blushing slightly at my abruptness.
No, with me.
Is he staying in his office? I asked nervously. I'm asking too many questions about something so trivial, but he assured me he would leave me and John to it. Even the thought of the man reduces me to a nervous wreck. John's lips twitch, clearly trying to fight a smile. I inwardly groan. He knows.
It's all good, girl.
He turns, giving Mario a funny look, which the little barman acknowledges with a flick of his cloth, before he leaves me with him at the bar. I gaze around, noticing a woman laughing with a middle-aged man at a table nearby. It's the woman I saw in the toilets when I was here last Friday. She's wearing a black trouser suit and looks extremely professional. She must be staying a while. Business, maybe. The man accompanying her rises from the table, putting his hand out politely, and she accepts it with a smile as she stands, letting him tuck her hand under his arm and lead her out of the bar as they chat and giggle. I perch on a bar stool to wait for John, taking my phone out to check for messages and missed calls.
You would like wine?
I look up, finding the little barman smiling at me. He speaks with an accent, and I conclude that he's Italian. He's very short and rather sweet, with his moustache and receding black hair.
I could do with one, but I'm driving.
Ah, he exclaims.
Just a small one.
He holds a small wine glass up, drawing a line across the middle with his finger. Oh, sod it. I shouldn't drink on the job, but my nerves are shot to bits. He's in this building somewhere, and that's unsettling enough. I nod on a smile. Thank you.
He holds up a bottle of Zinfandel, and I nod again.
Your dress is very, striking.
He pours a little more than half a glass. In fact, it's full. I look down at my black figure-hugging dress. Yes, I suppose striking would be a word you could use for my if all else fails dress. I always feel nice in it. It shows every curve I have. And considering I'm size 10, there are not many. But if I live with Kate much longer, that may change. I ignore the little voice in my head asking me if I wore it in the hopes of seeing Ward. Thank you, I smile.
Pleasure, Miss O'Shea. I'll leave you in peace.
He picks up his cloth and starts wiping the granite counter. I sip my wine as I wait for John. It goes down too well, and before I know it, I've drank the lot.
Hello.
I swivel on my stool, coming face to face with a woman who was draped all over Ward on Friday. She smiles at me, but it's the most insincere smile I've ever had the pleasure of receiving. Hi, I say politely.
Mario rushes over with a panic-stricken face, waving his cloth in the air.
Miss Sereno, please not talk.
What?
Oh, shut up, Mario, I'm not stupid, she spits.
Poor Mario flinches before returning to wiping the bar, keeping his eyes on Sarah. I want to jump to his defense, but just as I'm contemplating doing exactly that, she puts out her hand.
I'm Sarah. You are?
Oh, yes, the last time she asked me that, I didn't answer, and I left rather hastily. I accept her hand, shaking it lightly as she eyes me suspiciously. I can tell she doesn't like me. She sees me as a threat. Ava O'Shea, I offer, releasing my hold of her hand swiftly.
And you're here because?
I laugh lightly. I'm sure she knows exactly why I'm here, which only serves to confirm that she's feeling threatened and going out of her way to make me feel uncomfortable.
Sheathe the claws, lady.
I'm an interior designer. I'm here to measure up the new bedrooms. She arches an eyebrow, flicking her hand in the air to get Mario's attention. This woman is something else, with aloofness in equal measure towards boldness. Her blonde-layered hair is flicking here and there, her lips the same pouty red as they were on Friday, and she's wearing a fitted grey trouser suit. I'm being unkind when I put her at 40. She's probably mid-30s, far closer to Ward in age than I am. I quickly rein in my wandering thoughts, mentally slapping my own desperate arse.
Slow gin and tonic, Mario,
she demands past me. No please and no smile. She really is quite rude.
You're a bit young to be an interior designer, aren't you?
Her tone is unfriendly, and she doesn't look at me when she speaks. I bristle. I really don't like this woman. What does Ward see in her, apart from overinflated pouty lips and obvious breast implants?
I am, I agree.
She feels threatened by my youth as well. Good. I'm beyond relieved when John appears in the doorway, pulling his glasses down and giving Sarah a peculiar look before nodding at me. What's with all these looks being thrown around? I don't dwell on it, though. John's nod is the cue I need to escape this woman. I place my empty glass on the bar more forcefully than I intended to, and Mario's head snaps up. I smile an apology, lowering myself from the stool. Nice meeting you, Sarah, I say pleasantly. It's a lie. I don't like her, and I know the feeling's mutual. She doesn't look at me. She accepts the drink that Mario hands her without so much as a thank you, and walks off to chat with a male business type at the other end of the bar. When I reach John, he leads me up the grand staircase to the gallery landing and through to the new extension. I'll be fine on my own, John. I don't want to keep you.
It's all good, girl,
he rumbles, opening the door into the farthest room. We get to work, measuring and working our way back through the rooms. John dutifully holds the tape measure for me, nodding every so often when I give direction. The phrase, a man of few words, was invented with John in mind, I'm sure. He talks with his nods, and even though his eyes are covered with his sunglasses, I can identify when he's looking at me. I make all of the notes I need in my folder, ideas thrashing around in my head already. An hour later, I have all the measurements I need, and we're done. I follow John's huge body back onto the gallery landing as I search for my phone within my bag. I soon realize that in my desperation to get shot of Sarah, I left it on the bar. I've left my phone in the bar, I mutter to John's back.
I'll make sure Mario's picked it up. Jesse wanted me to show you one of the other rooms before you go,
he informs me evenly. Why?
So you get an idea of your brief.
He puts a key card in the slot, opens the door and ushers me in. Oh, okay, it can't hurt, and I'm interested. Wow! I walk into the middle of the room. Well, Minnie Sweet would better describe it. The floor space is probably bigger than Kate's flat. Hearing the door close behind me, I turn to see John has left me to take it in on my own, so I stand silently, absorbing the opulent splendor of the decor. These rooms are more lavish than the ones downstairs, if that's possible. A giant bed dominates the room, dressed in rich satin linen, in deep purples and gold, and the wall behind the bed is papered in an embossed, intense swirling of dull gold. Heavy thick curtains pool at the thick, bouncy carpet, and the lighting is dim and soft. One of Ward's key requirements was sensuality, and whoever designed this room has achieved it in abundance. Why doesn't he just re-employ this designer? I wander over to the huge sash window and look out over the rear grounds. The land the manor stands on is vast, the views tremendous, and the lush greenness of the Surrey countryside rolls for miles and miles. It really is quite special. I walk over and run my palm across a lovely dark wooden chest of drawers and place my folder and bag on top before lowering myself onto the chaise lounge in the window. I sit and take in my surroundings. It's incredible and would undoubtedly rival many of the most famous hotels spread across the world's biggest cities. A huge wall hanging grabs my attention. It's quite odd but beautifully made, and I conclude that it must be an antique. Half attached to the wall and drifting up onto the ceiling where the huge beams span, it's grid-like in appearance, but there's no material or lighting adorning it. I tilt my head on a frown, but then fly up when I hear a noise coming from the bathroom. Oh, shit. He's put me in an occupied room. Or has he? I can't hear anything now. I keep myself still and quiet, trying to listen for movement, but there's nothing. So I relax a little, but soon snap my head back up when I hear the door handle of the bathroom shift. Oh, heck. I should be running to escape before some poor sod comes out of their bathroom, possibly naked, and finds a strange woman standing like a complete plum in the middle of their posh suite. I pelt toward the chest of drawers to retrieve my bag and swing around toward the exit. But I gasp, dropping my bag to the floor, when I'm confronted with a most magnificent sight. I'm frozen on the spot and staring at Jesse Ward, who's standing in the doorway of the bathroom, wearing nothing but a pair of loose-fitting jeans.
Is this some kind of joke? I half laugh.
I'm waiting for an explanation, but it's not forthcoming. I try to ignore the mass of glorious man and frantically search my brain for guidance or instruction. It's useless. I'm not blind. I'll happily volunteer that I've imagined his chest more than once, and it exceeds even my highest expectations. This man is way past perfect. What should I do? He's just standing there, with his head slightly lowered, staring up at me through his long lashes. His eyes are piercing me, his mouth slack, and I can see the rise and fall of his incredible chest. There's some serious definition, not too bulky, just clean, cut, perfection. If he's devastating fully clothed, then he's seizure-worthy now. I take a deep breath. Oh, God, he has the V, and his heavy breathing is causing his muscles to roll and ripple. What's he doing there like that, in only a pair of jeans, looking all freshly shaven, revealing even more beauty? I mentally slap myself. It's obvious what he's playing at. I knew I shouldn't have trusted him. He's unreal, and so bloody forward, it's almost unattractive. Almost. I laugh lightly to myself. It's not unattractive. Not at all. I'm a pooling mass of want. His arms drape by his sides, but his stance is confident and determined. He's staring at me with complete intent, his look telling me I'm about to melt with pleasure. I should leave, but as much as I think I need to, as much as I'm battling with my sensible side to run, I don't. Instead, I run my eyes down to his denim-clad thighs, noticing the bulge at his groin. He's absolutely turned on, and judging by the coiled pang of desire that has just sprung into my stomach, so am I. I part my lips to draw some steadying breaths and then flex my neck. "Relax, Ava," he soothes me quietly. "You know you want this." I almost laugh. Who wouldn't? Look at him. I stand motionless. The only visible movement is my heart hammering out of my chest, and it increases tenfold when he slowly begins to walk toward me, his eyes fixed on mine. When he's a few feet away, his fresh, minty scent engulfs me, making my body involuntarily rigid. I don't know how I manage it, but I keep my eyes on his, lifting them to maintain contact as he nears, until he's standing before me, as close as he can be without physically touching me. "Turn around," he orders gently. I obey, without even a thought or hesitation, slowly turning away from him as I puff my cheeks out and clench my eyes shut. What am I doing? I didn't falter in the slightest. My shoulders are tensing, anticipating his touch, and no amount of mental encouragement to relax is paying off. The only sound in the room is the heavy breathing coming from both of us. I stand for a few moments, then go to turn and face him again, but I'm stopped in my tracks when two firm, warm, slightly shaky hands rest on my shoulders, keeping me from following through on my intent. His touch makes me flinch, and he releases one hand slowly, as if to ensure I'll stay still, before he gathers my loose hair and releases it down my front. In my own private darkness, I can hear my head demanding I run away, but my body has a whole other agenda. His hand returns to my shoulder and slowly massages my tense muscles. The feeling is divine, and my head rolls in appreciation as a small sigh escapes my lips. The pressure increases, and I soak up the delicious movements of his talented hands as I feel his hot, minty breath getting closer to my ear. I shudder, moving my face toward the source. I know this is inviting, but right at this moment, I've lost all sense. I want more.
Don't stop this, he whispers, the vibrations of his voice propelling shockwaves throughout my body. I'm physically shaking. It's way beyond my control.
My breath catches at the back of my throat.
I don't want to.
My voice is unrecognizable. I can't believe he's captured me like this. I can't believe I'm accepting this.
He presses his entire front against my back, his mouth dropping to my ear. I'm going to take your dress off now.
My nod of agreement is almost non-existent, but he catches it and answers by nipping my earlobe, which only assists in raising the relentless pressure in my already throbbing core.
You're too fucking beautiful, Ava, he purrs, skimming his lips across my ear. Oh, God.
I lean back into him, his erection throbbing through his jeans, pulsing into my lower back.
Do you feel that?
He circles his hips, and I moan.
I'm going to have you, lady.
His words are spoken with absolute conviction. I'm a complete slave to them. I know he's bound to have had practice in this area. He must have the gift of seduction down to a fine art. I'm not in denial. Women must be falling at his feet on a daily basis. He's a well-trained master, taking what he wants, but it doesn't bother me in the slightest. Right now, I'm here for the taking, with no conscience and no indecisiveness. Caution has been wholly and absolutely thrown to the wind. I feel his index finger start at the base of my back, trailing a slow, definite stroke up the center of my spine, causing my head to roll freely. I plead with my hands to remain at my sides, when all I want to do is turn and devour him. But he's already stopped me from turning to face him once. He clearly likes to be in control. As he reaches the very top of my dress, he grasps the zip and places his hand on my hip. I jerk. It's my ultimate tickle spot, and any friction on my hip bone or the hollow above it sends me through the roof. Squeezing my eyes shut, I use every ounce of willpower I possess to disregard the contact. It's hard, but the sheer size of his hand splayed across my hip grounds me, keeping me immobile. The zipper of my dress slowly lowers, and I hear him gasp at the exposure of my bare skin. He removes his hand from my hip, and I'm stunned when I miss the heat immediately. But then I feel both hands slide under the material of my dress and rest on my bare shoulders, and his fingers flex as he pushes my dress away from my front before slowly dragging it down my body, letting it fall to the floor. His breath catches, and I thank everything holy that I put on decent underwear. I'm standing in my bra, knickers, and heels, at the complete mercy of the Adonis looming behind me.
Lace, he whispers.
My waist is gripped, and I'm lifted out of the pooling dress before being turned to face him. In these heels, my eyes are level with his chin, and with a little flick upward, I'm focused on his full, beautiful lips and wishing he would lay them on mine. I'm swiftly losing my self-control, and my conscience has long left the building. I'm wanton, and with this man, easy. He lifts a hand to my breast and circles my nipple through my bra with his thumb, his gaze focused on his movements. My nipples tingle at the contact, lengthening behind the material of my bra, and a small smile plays at the corners of his lips. He knows the effect he's having on me. Introducing his index finger, he tweaks the stiff nub, causing my breasts to throb, becoming heavy, aching mounds on my chest. I'm completely rapt by this man studying me so closely, working me up into a shaking, desperate mess. I still can't believe I'm doing this, but damn, can I stop it? I watch as he brings his other hand up to palm my other breast, and I can no longer keep my hands off him. My arms lift and my palms settle on his chest, the warmth and firmness hitching my breath. I start to trail my finger down the void between his pecs, smiling to myself when I feel him flinch under my touch and groan low in his throat. But before I can make the most of the access to his body, he turns me back around. I want to cry inside. "I want to see you," I breathe. "Shh," he hushes me, unclasping my bra and running his hands under the straps. He lowers them down my arms, letting it drop to the floor, before his hands find my breasts and knead deliberately as he continues to breathe hot, heavy breaths in my ear.
"You and me,"
he growls and spins me around, crashing his lips against mine, robbing me of breath. I'm back to where I want to be. His tongue skims my bottom lip, seeking entry, and I don't deny him. I accept him into my mouth, our tongues dueling, his mouth hot, his tongue lax but severe. I fling my arms over his shoulders to pull him closer as he presses his groin into my lower stomach, his erection hard as steel and bidding for escape from the confines of the denim encasing it. Every part of him feels perfect. He's everything I imagined. A low moan escapes his mouth as both of his hands drift up my back to cup my head, his fingers splayed around the back, the heels of his palms resting on my cheekbones. He breaks the kiss, and I whimper at the loss. His shoulders are rising and falling with the deep breaths he's struggling to get into his lungs, and he rests his forehead against mine with his eyes clenched shut. He looks in pain. "I'm going to get lost in you," he breathes, his hand traveling back down the curve of my spine to the rear of my thigh. With one gentle tug, he pulls my leg up to rest against his hip, cupping my bum with his other. He searches my eyes desperately.
"There's something here," he whispers. "I'm not imagining it."
No, he's not. I think back to Friday, when I first laid my eyes on him. I felt like I'd been electrocuted, all sorts of strange reactions firing off in my mind and body. That wasn't normal, and I'm so relieved that I wasn't the only one to feel it.
"There's something," I confirm quietly, watching as the look in his eyes changes from uncertainty to complete satisfaction.
I'm perched on one leg, semi-draped around his waist, ready to jump the gun and wrap my other leg around him. I need to feel all of him. I need his lips on mine, and as if reading my mind, he tilts his head and lowers his mouth, but this time he's calmer as he gently brushes his lips over mine at the most dreamy pace. He tilts his pelvis into me, and I instantly recognize the start of a huge build-up of pressure in my groin. I'm powerless to control it. I don't want to control it. Grinding his hips against me, he continues to take my mouth slowly, the combined sensation having me tinkering on the edge. One touch, and I'm likely to explode. His kiss hardens, the grinding of his hips increasing.
"Oh, Jesus," he mumbles against my lips. "Don't ruin this."
Don't ruin this? Why is he pleading with me, or is he pleading with himself? But then it all becomes clear when I hear someone calling Jesse's name. I recognize the cold, unfriendly voice as Sarah's, and just like that, my building pleasure dies, retreating faster than it came.
Fuck off, fuck off, fuck off!
I'm screaming it repeatedly in my head. My languid, worked-up body suddenly stiffens, my fingers digging into Jesse's shoulders. What am I doing? His girlfriend is prowling around outside, and I'm shacked up in here with her boyfriend's hands all over me. I'm hideous. He deepens the kiss, pushing onto my lips to the point of pain, his tongue invading my mouth with urgency. I know he's trying to keep me in the game. He releases my thigh and brings his hands to my hips to keep me still. He thinks I'm going to run. I am going to run, and when he releases my lips, my head drops automatically.
The door's locked, he assures me quietly.
I can't carry on with this now. I may not like the woman, but I'm no homewrecker. I've done some damage, but I can stop this from progressing to the point of no return. He brings one hand up to seize my jaw, tilting my head up and holding it firm as he focuses his green pools straight on me. His frown line is clear as he searches my eyes for something. Hope, I think.
Please,
he mouths. I shake my head slightly in his grasp, my gaze plummeting to his chest, my eyes squeezing shut. His hand tightens on my hip as he shakes my jaw slightly, in a desperate attempt to drag me out of the shell I've crawled into.
Don't run.
He almost grinds the words out, making it sound more like an order.
I can't do this,
I whisper, feeling his hands drop away from me on a frustrated growl.
Jesse!
I hear Sarah's voice again, but closer this time. In a complete daze, I scoop my dress up from the floor before running into the bathroom, slamming the door behind me and flipping the lock. I lean against the wood, virtually naked, trying to control my erratic breathing, and look up to the ceiling in an attempt to prevent the tears from falling. I think I hear the sound of muffled voices coming from the bedroom, and I try to stabilize my breathing so I can listen to what's going on. But there's nothing. No noise. No talking. Nothing. Damn me for being half naked so I can't escape. Instead, I've resorted to fleeing into the bathroom, hiding like the desperate tart that I am. I'm truly ashamed of myself. I've been cheated on plenty of times. Over many a bottle of wine, I've condemned those other women, bad-mouthed them, and wished them some truly merciless reprisals. Now I'm one of them. I groan, smacking the heel of my hand on my forehead. Tart. When I hear a door shut, I stiffen and listen carefully. Is that him leaving, or is he coming back? Either way, I need to get dressed, so I search for my bra within the bunching material of my dress that's gathered in my hands. No bra. Shaking my dress out frantically, I pray for its appearance, but still, nothing. I sigh and step into my dress, pulling it up my body and reaching around to fasten the zip. I'll have to do without, because I'm certainly not attempting to retrieve it from the bedroom. I walk over to the mirror to inspect myself, and it's as I suspected. I look dreadful. My eyes are swimming with unshed tears, my lips swollen and red, and my cheeks are flushed. I look harassed. I am harassed. I try in vain to straighten myself out, so I can at least exit with a bit of dignity intact, but there's no escaping the distraught look I'm displaying. This will be the ultimate walk of shame. I flinch when there's a knock on the door.
Ava?
I keep quiet. Oh God, he sounds almost angry. I pull my fingers through my hair and dab my eyes with tissue to soak up the tears. I look no better, but I know I'll feel better when I'm out of here, so gearing myself up to face the music, I gingerly unlock the door. It flies open, nearly knocking me off my feet, and Jesse fills the doorway. He is angry, and he's blocking my path. I look past him into the bedroom, finding we're alone. He must be a bloody convincing liar, because he's still shirtless, and there's no Sarah trying to rip my hair out. As if he has the right to look at me all disapproving and make me feel like a letdown. I push past him.
"Where the hell are you going?"
he shouts after me. I don't respond. I keep my pace up, grabbing my bag and stalking out into the gallery landing, hearing Jesse curse as I make my escape.
"Ava!"
I take the stairs fast, glancing up as I go, spotting Jesse flying out of the suite, fighting to get his t-shirt on. Detouring into the bar to collect my phone, I find Mario serving some gentlemen, but my good manners prevent me from demanding it immediately, so I stand patiently and wait, fidgeting and flustering the whole time.
"Did you get what you came for?"
Sarah's cold voice stabs at my flesh. Oh, God, does she know? Is there a double meaning there? I turn, plastering on a false smile.
"Measurements, yes."
She looks me over, her elbow resting on her hip, with her slow gin and tonic suspended in front of her face. She knows. Jesse races into the bar, skidding to a stop in front of us. I look at him in horror. Could he be any more obvious? I glance at Sarah to gauge her reaction to this little scene, finding her looking thoughtfully at us both. She definitely knows. I need to leave. I turn back toward the bar. Thank God Mario spots me.
"Miss O'Shea, here, you must try."
He hands me a shot of some sort. Do you have my phone, Mario?
"You try,"
he demands. In my desperation to get out of here, I knock the whole thing back in one foul gulp and wince when it burns the back of my throat. My mouth forms an O as I squeeze my eyes shut.
Wow! "Is it good?"
I blow out a long, hot breath, handing the glass back to him.
"Yes, it's very good."
He takes the glass, winks, and hands me my phone. Smoothing my dress and taking a deep breath, I turn to face the two people I never want to see again.
"You left this upstairs."
Ward hands me my folder, but doesn't release it when I tug gently.
"Thank you."
I frown at him as he stares at me, his brow completely furrowed as he chews his bottom lip. He finally lets it go, and I tuck it in my bag. "Goodbye." I leave them both in the bar, making my way to my car. He can't pursue me with Sarah there to bear witness, and that is a major relief. I get in and start my car, ignoring the voice in my head screaming, "You're probably over the limit." This is so irresponsible of me, but desperation leaves me with no alternative. I reverse out of the space and see Jesse come bounding out of the doors. He can't be serious. I frantically shift into first gear, pulling off sharply and leaving a cloud of dust in my wake. As the fog of dust clears behind me, I see Jesse in the rearview mirror, throwing his arms around in the air like some raving lunatic. I speed down the tree-covered driveway, my head spinning, a mixture of drink and distress, trying to concentrate on the road ahead. Glancing down at the dashboard, I note I'm driving stupidly fast, and without the headlights or my seatbelt on. My head is all over the place. The gates come into view, and I release the accelerator.
"Open, please open,"
I plead as I pull to a standstill.
"Open!"
I thump the steering wheel in frustration and the horn screams, sending me on a startled jump in my seat. The sound of a car approaching drags my eyes to the rearview mirror.
"Oh, fucking hell!"
I curse as the headlights get closer. It skids to a stop behind me, the door flies open, and Jesse gets out. He strides forward at a leisurely rate, but I'm not trying to kid myself that he doesn't look fuming. Just because he didn't get his rocks off.